Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Cubs and Brewers are neck and neck as the race for the division crown is going down to the wire. Do the Cubs have enough in the tank to take the division? Listen to every exciting game here. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, radio.com station, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studio. The Score!
It's a little bit after 7 o'clock. The Chicago Wolves games make the best company in group outings. Tickets, food, and souvenirs can all be included for one low price. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES. Eli, my man, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. So we got a little bit of time together tonight. You and I get the opportunity to hang out a little bit tonight. If you are stuck in traffic, I feel for you. I was driving around in the city today, and it's a mess. But hopefully we can make the time that you have left on the roadways a little bit better. If you're listening in the office, shout out to you for working on a Friday night. If you're listening on the podcast, sorry. Here's what we have planned for you tonight. A lot of conversation about your Chicago Cubs. There will be some Bears conversation in the show. I do want to talk about Sunday's game, but Herbie and I were talking about this earlier today. We were trying to figure out, coming out of Bears All Access, do I just stick with all the people that are listening to Bear stuff and start talking Bears? Like, that would be the really easy thing to do. But I feel like the Cubs are the bigger story today. I am in love with this type of baseball. I'm in love with money on the table baseball. Who's going to show up and who's not going to show up? And can I just tell you? Look, I heard JD on the broadcast today talking about, you know, the concept of who wants it more and how ridiculous that is. And I do agree with him. But you can't tell me that you watched the Cardinals today and were like, if I didn't tell you that they were still in a playoff race, you'd have been like, well, there's a team that's just trying to get to Sunday. That's what they look like today. And the Cubs were like, okay, great. We're going to let Kyle Hendricks go out there and do what he does. Almost makes it to 200 innings for the season. Has that ERA in the mid-threes. The professor was back in the building. Should we call him the little professor? Because, I mean, Maddox is, you know what I mean? The new professor? So here's what I'd like to do. Kelly Krull is going to join me at 7:30, and we'll hear from Joe Maddon as well. But I'd like to talk with you. Like, we talk when things look bleak about how you feel. I'd like to hear how you feel after a win like today. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can also text the show 67011. Like, for real, for real. If you didn't know the stakes is high. Shout out to De La Soul. If you didn't know the stakes that the Cubs and Cardinals were playing for, the Cubs fighting to desperately not play in the wild card game, and the Cardinals fighting desperately to get to the wild card game. Did the Cardinals look like a scratching and clawing team to you today? Because they didn't to me. A lot of that had to do with Hendricks, but I mean, they had terrible at-bats. They're throwing the ball all over the yard. So did the Cubs. They did a little bit of that, too, in the game. But Chris Bryant's like, my shoulder's fine. Here, take this 440-foot home run. I might have to one-hand this one, just for old time's sake, to see what happens. So, sports radio gets accused a lot of being a medium that is based on negativity. So I'd like for today, I think that this is a huge win for the Cubs. Huge. Because now it puts pressure on Milwaukee. The pressure has been on the Cubs for the last 3 or 4 days. Can they match what Milwaukee's doing? Christian Yelich won't stop. He's going to win MVP. The Brewers are excited. They're celebrating that they got into the playoffs. The Cubs aren't having a party. Will they even have a party on Sunday if they end up in the wild card game? The pressure has been squarely on the Cubs. And you know what today was? A pressure release valve. You're not all of it, because the pressure's still on. But let's put it this way. If this were a tennis match, they would have broken the Brewers in this particular game. Now, the Brewers have a chance tonight to break back, and we will see what they do. I have put Herbie in charge of the Brewers game. So even though we don't have update anchors per se, Herbie is going to jump in with updates on the Brewers.
When you hear this sound, Lawrence.
Okay.
We'll have a break-in.
Okay. I'm good with that. That seems fair. I like that idea.
That's neither positive nor negative.
No, it just means that you're going to pop on the air with an update. It's kind of like the old ESPN Baseball Tonight.
Yeah, right in the middle of a question. Kelly's answering a question. Sorry, Kelly.
Don't do that. Yeah, it's fine. I'll tell her. She's going to be... I texted Kelly and I was like, hey, can you come on tonight? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to be watching the Brewers game. So... It works. She might even update us like in the middle of it on while stuff is going on. So let me ask you, did you feel that pressure release today? Just and not completely, not totally, because it's not over, but you get that, okay. Here's what it's like. It's like you had a big meal and you enjoyed the meal. The meal's great. And you're just dying to get into some sweatpants when you get home. Like you went out to a fancy meal. You're out there at Gibson's with your big steak. You had dessert. You probably shouldn't have had dessert. You're walking down the street with your wife or your husband. And you're like, that was a great meal, but I know I'm going to pay for it. Let me get into these sweatpants. Today's win was Cubs fans coming home from a big meal and getting into their sweatpants and getting onto the couch. It's not over, but you feel a little bit better today. So I thought that we could talk about it. And we'll keep you updated on what the Brewers are doing throughout the night. That is my promise to you. We will do our best. 312-644-6767. Let's get after it. Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Lawrence, thank you very much. That was a great analogy. All they really did was hold serve today. I mean, I'm glad they did, but all they did was hold serve. And too many times this year they've had this, what we thought was the wind to set them flying, and they go flat again. But, I mean, they held serve, and like you said, there's Milwaukee's got the pressure now. But they've held their end right now, so they're home for two. But that was a terrific analogy. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the phone call. The pressure is squarely on Milwaukee now. Just for tonight, they win back on the Cubs. Magic number is 2. And it kind of stinks for the Cubs. You're like, oh, well, of course, the Cubs get the Cardinals to end the season. And Milwaukee gets punk-ass Detroit. Detroit Tigers, the team that quit in June. That bunch. But let's see if they take it lightly. And they feel like they got things won already. I feel like you can just kind of roll out there and beat the Tigers because them boys want to go home. And it's not like there's a built-in rivalry either. Like, if this were the Brewers playing the Pirates, like the Pirates played hard against the Cubs. They weren't trying to give games away. They're going to finish above 500 for the season. They had a decent season this year. I expect that they'll be a part of the mix next year. The Tigers have nothing to play for other than, can we get out of here? That would be great if we could get out of here. Eric's on the north side. Hey, Eric, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say that, are you concerned at all about the bullpen because, you know, the inconsistency of Carl Edwards Jr. walking people and, you know, the fact that we don't have Morrow, but we have C-Sheck and Chavez that can come in there and take care of that. And if my friend wasn't on the Brewers, Curtis Granderson, guy I went to UIC with, I would be very unhappy if he wins. But, you know, Jack Rosenberg and I just wanted to see the Cubs go to the playoffs. That's what we want to do. And I wanted to know your concern about
the bullpen. How many names are you going to drop, Eric?
Well, Curtis Granderson and I have known each other for 20 years.
My wife went to UIC with Curtis as well. Any more names? Who else is hoping that the Cubs win? You want to throw Dave Leto in there? I don't know if Dave even cares.
Porter Moser. I give him that.
Well, Porter was doing the stretch last. Was that Riles? Did I see Riles with Andre Dawson?
I looked up and I thought that was Riles, but I was like, why? How?
Is he like Andre's like agent or something?
I don't know, but it would look like exactly like Jerry Riles.
It was definitely Jerry Riles. But I was watching the game and you know, you're watching with the sound down. I was in a public place. I'm watching and I'm like, is that Riles? Why is Riles in the booth singing the stretch? It must have been a dream come true for him.
Yeah, like, it makes sense if he's his agent just to be in the room, but, like, I didn't know, didn't introduce him on the thing. Like, Andre Dawson with Jerry Riles.
Here's what it felt like to me. It felt like to me Andre was nervous about singing the song, and so he wanted someone else there with him to sing the song. What I don't know is what the connection is between Jerry Riles, former Score producer, and Andre Dawson. Why did he just pull Jesse in there, too? It could have just been an old reunion.
Mike Alzamora?
Little Al, the kiddie's pal. By the way, Eli, I don't know if you care about this stuff. You seem like a guy who doesn't. But Tony desperately wants to know some old Score stories. So we think that Herbie and I were thinking maybe we do a segment where we just talk about the old days. Put a log on the fire and... You have no interest in it, do you?
I'm game for that.
All right. We will do something for the youngsters. Cause he reached out to Rick Geezer. Cause there's a guest that I want. And Rick Geezer is one of the people over there. He's got to run Zanies. But Rick used to be the morning show producer here back in the day. Used to produce the Bear and the Bull. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Bear and the Bull. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. 2 and 55. Do 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 do. Chitlins and calamari. Do 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 do. You think I'm kidding? That was their actual open. Herbie, see if you can find it in the vault. I wouldn't mind going down memory lane for Norm Van Leer and Doug Buffone. You kidding me? Two of the guys I adore at this radio station. But yeah, I think that was Jerry Riles. Not that that matters to anyone else, except if you're a longtime Score head, you were like, wait, what did you just say? Yeah. It was him, I think. 312-644-6767. How do those Cubs sweatpants feel? You've been stressing all day trying to get home to get out of those pants and get into some sweats. And the Cubs gave you the opportunity today. Put on them comfy sweats. You're like, oh, God, thank God. Thank God they won today. Could you imagine? I know I could because I was prepping for it. Could you imagine how you would feel had the Cubs lost today? I don't even know if you'd be listening to my show. You'd be listening to the Brewers game or watching the Brewers game. But I like it. Comfy sweatpants right now. Crystal Lake and Ron. Hey, Ron, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence. I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, say Cole Hamels has a gem like the professor had today. On Sunday, Montgomery's pitching. Would you treat it like an all-star game where all hands are on deck? I'd like to know if you're the manager, what you would do.
It depends. I need a scenario to work through this with you, Ron. Like, what are you thinking? What they need to win the division?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking, you know, with playing Detroit, I'm thinking, you know, the Brewers are going
to
have.
So wait, let me try to work this through for a second, Ron. So if Sunday they're playing and a win wins them the division, probably means that a loss ties the division, which means that you have to save one starter. That whoever, like, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's not on deck because there's one guy that you're saving in case there's a 163.
Okay.
And the way wouldn't it be Lester? It would be Lester, right? So he's untouchable. But the beauty of the 40-man roster, you can throw the rest of them bums out there. But if the Cubs are playing a game on Sunday, yes, everyone is available except for John Lester. Because, real talk, he would be my choice to start the game anyway. So, yes, to answer your question, if there is a scenario, if the scenario pops up where the Cubs need to win on Sunday to not play Tuesday or not play Monday and then Tuesday, everyone would be available out of my bullpen except for John Lester, who I would put in bubble wrap and sit him in a suite. Although he would want to be in the dugout. He should be in the dugout. You know what I'm saying. Hey, John, you're on the score. How are those Cubs sweatpants feeling? Where'd John go? John's like, oh, screw your sweatpants. We don't care. Wait, let me try again. Oh, Herbie's talking to him, maybe yelling at him. He wasn't ready. He's ready now? All right, let me ask again. Hey, John, how are those Cubs sweatpants?
Man, they're feeling real good right now at the moment. My old lady just sent me to go get some pizza, pick up a couple drinks, and just relax for the night.
I think that sounds good. What's on your pizza tonight, John?
I have a Supreme Pizza and a Meat Lovers.
So, Pizza Hut, you hooking up Pizza Hut tonight?
Oh, God. I don't want to throw out no names, but yeah.
There's nothing wrong. I mean, I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to pizza shame you. You like Pizza Hut? I like Pizza Hut, too. I like their breadsticks. And I think they have good wings, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I got the box with the wings in it.
See? That's a man. Did you get the dessert?
Oh, yeah. They got a Hershey pie.
John, me and you are hanging out someday, man. We're doing that.
Lawrence, I can't wait. That'll be so fun.
Are you excited about the Cubs?
Just a little bit. Can't wait.
That.
Got tickets for tomorrow. Got tickets for Sunday. Can't wait.
What is he, Bart Scott? I'm all right with John, though. I'm going to go over to John's house. We're going to eat pizza. Eat some bread. There's an update from the Milwaukee Tigers game. Herbie?
Nico Goodrum, infield single. Detroit 1, Milwaukee nothing, top of the first.
Oh,
one out.
So Detroit came ready to play today. They rolling them bums out there, and those bums are ready to play today.
Runners on first and second, one out.
Man. All right, that works for me. Aw, B-Mac's leaving. B-Mac, come here. Come here. Come in the studio. You're just leaving? Just going to leave me like that? No, I'm just playing. Good luck to you, man. You're a good man. Appreciate you. Our sports director, Brendan McCaffrey, is leaving. He's had enough of this crap. Now, he took a great job at Sirius, and he is getting ready to move. So today was his last day. You know how some guys mail it in? Not B-Mac. B-Mac was probably here at like 7 a.m. Do you know, Eli, if this was your last day, wouldn't you have walked out of here at like 1:30?
No, but...
Yes, you would have.
Fine.
B-Mac's still here at 7:30 on a Friday night. Just making sure everything is okay. I love it. All right, let's go out to Joliet. Oh, wait, hold on. Just a second. Hold on, Bob. We got an update with the Tigers and Brewers. Herbie?
Jim Aducci, RBI single, Tigers 2, Milwaukee nothing. Runners are first and third, one out in the first.
These seem like made-up players.
Jim Aducci's a Chicago guy.
No, so Detroit.
Okay, Detroit just took a 2-0 lead, Bob.
They won the play. Let's go down to one.
Hey, Bob, you're on the score.
Yeah, Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Let's talk about the Cubs winning the pennant, the division, and then they're going.
Bob, forget the turn the radio down, Bob.
I always listen to you guys.
We appreciate it, but here's the thing. If you're listening, the over-the-air signal is 7 seconds behind, so it's difficult for me to hear you talking to me and then hearing the reverb.
Is that better?
Yeah, it's much better. So what's on your mind?
The Cubs going to win the division. It was a great game today, 8-4, Cubs win. But they're not going to go for a wild card. They're going to go for the division win. It's hard to talk without my...
Well, yeah, they're going to – that's – yes, they would much prefer to win the division than to play in the wild card game. Hey, Jules. Julie DeCaro will be on after I'm done. This segment being brought to you by Indeed. Used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire. This texter says, hey, Lawrence, I used to know Jerome Walton. I'm sure he wants the Cubs to win too. It's well done, 630 texter. How many more? Like, I'm trying to think of what other guys we could just drop into that conversation. Here, I'll go. I'll go now. Like, I'll do one, and then texters, you do one, okay? Man, I'm sure Otis Wilson, I was talking with him, I'm sure he would love for the Cubs to win this division. All right, so I did one, now you do one, okay? 312-644-6767. If you want to text us your name drop like a caller earlier, feel free. 670-11 is the way you do that. Country Club Hill, CC Hills, and Jeffrey. Hey, Jeffrey, you're on the score.
Hey, John, how's it going, man? You excited today, aren't you?
Who's that? Who were you talking to, Jeffrey?
I thought, is your name John?
No.
I'm sorry. I do apologize.
Like the porn star?
Well, nonetheless. I'm sorry?
Do you have the wrong show, Jeffrey?
No, I don't. I call the right show. I just got the wrong name. That's my bad.
Hang on a second. Do we have any Johns on the roster here at the score? I'm being serious. Let's go through the
John
shows.
John Shaky Suntress we used to have.
This is a long time ago. Let's go through the shows here. Mully and Haw. Mully's first name is Mike. Haw's first name is David. Let's see. Midday Show, Bernstein and McKnight. McKnight's first name is Connor, and Bernstein's first name is Dan. All right. Afternoons. Both of those guys' names are Dan. That's out. Nighttime Show, that's my show. My name happens to be Lawrence, so that's out.
I got that name, too.
Yeah, but it's your last name, and it's spelled the bastardized American way. Let's see. Julie's name is not John.
Maybe Les's secret name is John?
No, his name is Lester, I think. I'm not sure about
that. He says his name is Les Paul.
Is it Les Paul?
Like the guitar player.
Oh, maybe he's had that going on.
He's a piano player, though.
All right, let's see. Who else we got? Let's go to the weekends. Hit and Run. That is Barry and Joe. We have an update from the Tigers and Brewers game, Herbie.
James McCann, RBI single, 3-0 Detroit, top of first and second, one out.
Things are going well for the Cubs. Let's see, so inside the clubhouse, that's Esposito and Levine. And so no John's there, right? Because Esposito's first name is Tony. No?
Hilarious.
I thought that was pretty funny. So no, like there are no, isn't that crazy? Because that's like the most common name in the world. There's no one named John here.
What's the guy who does the golf show?
Steve Olkin.
Steve Olkin and John Sherman?
I don't know.
It could be John Sherman.
Maybe. Ed Sherman.
It's Ed Sherman.
I thought it was John.
It's not. Isn't that crazy that all these people that work here, no one's named John? Here's the other thing. No one calls Hood John. It's either Jonathan, which is what I call him, or Jay Hood. All right, hang on. Let's go back to CC Hills because they're often confused out there. Are you still there?
I'm still here, guys.
Have you figured out whose show you called yet?
You are truly, I see the Cubs have really put you in a mood to get in the sweatpants today, did they?
See, again, White Sox fan. He has no idea who he called. So he just called. Thanks for the call, Jeffrey. I mean, Justin. I mean, January. Whatever your name is. I appreciate it. When we come back, we'll talk with Kelly Kroll. She knows my name. Back after this on The Score.
He hits one high in the air, deep left center. Back goes Bader to the center field fence. That ball is gone. Long gone. Get out the tape measure for Chris Bryant. Cubs lead 3-0.
That was probably one of the worst hit-by pitches I've had in my whole life. I mean, it's scary. I mean, anytime you – I don't know how we don't end up breaking bones in our hand anytime we get hit in the hand because it's so fragile. But it kind of got me in the meat of the hand. But I, it feels good, especially hitting a home run. Makes it feel better.
The highlight is we have an update in the Brewers-Tigers game. Herbie?
Kristen Yelich, 2-run home run, Detroit 3, Milwaukee 2, bottom first, no outs.
That guy does not stop. There's your National League MVP right there. Herbie will have updates from the Tigers-Brewers game for the rest of the night. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and Chicago's Big Ten team host Nebraska and Wisconsin next month. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at NUSports.com. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I'm here with you until 9 o'clock tonight. We are talking about the Cubs. They win today 8-4 over the Cardinals. And I say that it was like going out to a heavy meal. You've been stress eating for a little while. And tonight you got to go home and put on your comfy Cubs sweatpants. Just a little bit of a release. You're like, oh, I'm going to get out of these tight-ass pants. I'm going to put some sweats on, and I'm going to be on the couch, and it's great. Brewers trying to take away your sweatpants tonight. We'll see if they can rally because, you know, Detroit's terrible. Kelly Kroll does an incredible job covering the Cubs. She's my teammate over at NBC Sports Chicago and a frequent guest here on The Score. She's terrific, and I'm glad that she has time to come and hang out with you and talk a little bit about this Cubs team as they get ready for the playoffs. She joins me now here on The Score. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, Lawrence. Thanks for having me, and I just want it to be known right now, I am in my sweats, and I am feeling good about keeping these sweats on. So
that's good.
I want that to be stated now.
All right, hang on, because your phone is acting up a little bit, so we'll reconnect with Kelly, because her phone is acting up a little bit. I want to make sure it's clear, because, first of all, she just got off a great joke and was listening to the show, which we appreciate. You just want to make sure that we can hear her because we like her and she's got good information. But yes, Yelich is. It was like they were neck and neck. Baez and Yelich. They were neck and neck. And then Yelich was like, let me hit that fifth gear. And he just won't stop hitting. But we'll keep you abreast of what's going on. 217 Texter says, not my MVP. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously we would all like for Javi to win the MVP. He'll finish second. He will have had a great year. Gets a couple more hits in the next 2 days. Maybe can finish the season with, you know, 300 average, 30-plus home runs, and over 100 RBIs. That'd be dope. And he took the collar today, so it doesn't help. You know, 0-for-4 and struck out 3 times in the game. I was having this conversation with someone today, and you know me, it's my get off the lawn deal, which is we have all this technology now. Like all the technology in the world we have now, and we can't get cell phones to work. Like think of, like, It drives me insane. It drives me crazy. All right. Kelly's back. She's got her sweatpants on. We're talking Cubs. So yeah, I just feel like it was kind of a release today for Cubs fans who have been, this week has been pressure filled for them, and it just felt like this win today was a little bit of a pressure release. Hold on a second, Kelly. Herbie has an update from,
I'm watching it.
Yeah, so what's the update?
Ryan Braun, well, solo home run. Three all.
Oh, so they're still in this thing. All right, well, great. We appreciate the Tigers for playing along in this whole deal. So what's it been like this week to cover the Cubs with there being so much stress with the Brewers not wanting to go away?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, like, as we watch this game tonight, you know, I mean, they've taken care of business now, as they should. And the truth is they have a one-game lead in the division, right? 1.5 after today, and, you know, we'll see what happens. Like, their magic number is down to 3, am I right?
Two.
And so I just feel like it's interesting because I feel like this whole week as it's unfolded, talking to friends and fans and people who follow this team, like, it felt like a lot of stress and pressure for them. But the second you walk in, and Lawrence, you know this because you've seen them all year long, the second you walk into that clubhouse, it's like you're in another world with these guys who aren't wrapped up in that panic. And they're taking the same day-by-day approach. And it almost like once you see that they're all taking this in stride and appear to be just business as usual in there, you start to maybe relax yourself a little bit. I step back and say, okay, well, these guys don't seem to be freaking out at all. So either they're just saying the right things or they really believe that they're still in the driver's seat and that this is just their way of what's been a very different, interesting season. I mean, I, in 5 years of covering this team, have never seen them have to go through the ups and the downs and the injuries and the scheduling conflicts and weather weirdness, if you will, and even some of the off-field stuff that they've had to deal with. I've never seen them have to go through a year like this, and it certainly has been a challenging one. But if they can continue to do what they're doing and finish this off, how rewarding will that be? Because it certainly is not what felt like, now looking back at it, a breeze in 2016.
Kelly, there's two guys that were instrumental in today's game that I want to talk with you about. First, let's talk about Chris Bryant. It must have felt great for him to hit not just a home run, but a majestic one out to center field. How does he feel overall? How's the shoulder? How's the hand? And which one is more detrimental to him right now?
Well, I mean, he was kind of funny with just a little grin. He goes, yeah, that felt good. And then kind of stopped and paused right before he kept going. I mean, it was almost like this big, deep breath in and then an exhale. And yeah, that felt really good. That felt like me. Now, you're not going to hear him go as far as to say he feels healthy now and that this is going to turn his, you know, last couple games and maybe postseason around for him. I think that the shoulder issue is a bigger issue, right? I don't think this is clean. I think this is going to be an off-season issue and shoulder issue, if you will. I think it's going to be an injury that it has to be taken care of. I don't know if that's going in and cleaning it up. I don't know if it's a larger surgery, but so more concerning is definitely the shoulder at this point in time, in my opinion. I think the wrist, the fact that nothing was broken, the swelling was less heavy than they expected, and here he is back in the lineup 2 days later. I mean, he did comment about how it's crazy that when they get hit by a ball in the hand, regardless of what kind of pitch it is, that more guys aren't breaking bones. He was kind of mesmerized because it just doesn't seem right, you know, that they could walk away from this and a couple days later be gripping a bat again and be productive. But I think from what I heard Chris Bryant say tonight was that he just wants to contribute, and he feels like he just hasn't been able to come through in any type of situation, right, just because of this nagging injury. And so I think today it was just like, finally, right? Finally, I came through for my team in a big way. And he is not concerned with being the Chris Bryant that everybody else wants him to be, you know? He just wants to be able to help his team here down the stretch in some capacity, which could be different from what we're used to seeing from Chris Bryant. But I don't think that doesn't mean he won't return to true form once he is healthy again.
In a playoff scenario, is he playing in the outfield or playing third base?
Boy, David Bodie is making that a really interesting debate, isn't he? And I actually asked KB, that was my last question to him today, was, you know, nobody knows better than you do, manning the hot corner, how difficult that can be. What do you think of the job that David Bodie is doing? And he said, this guy looks great out there, and he's making difficult plays look a lot easier than they are. He brought up how the grass today, how when it's wet over there, and, of course, the, you know, the ball can take funny hops, and he said it's not easy, and he's been a very reliable guy in that position. And so you're not going to have David Bodie playing third and Chris Bryant on the bench, okay? I'll put it that way. It's not come to that. But I think when Chris Bryant's in, I think he's going to be in the outfield, and you're going to see David Bodie at third. I think he's proved that he can handle it, and it helps to have both of their bats in right now.
Okay, let's talk about the other guy. The other guy is Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah.
Hendricks struggled for a long time. I think the last time that you and I talked on the show, he had come off a rough start. What's he done to get himself right? Because now you look at him end of season, he's at 200 innings. He's got the ERA down to 3.44 or whatever it is. And he looks like himself again going deep into games.
You're absolutely right. It's been really impressive to watch him. What is his September numbers? Didn't you see it? I mean, he's got maybe the best September numbers in the National League right now, something like 171 or something like that. I know I looked it up and wrote it down, but earlier this afternoon, but he mentioned that 179, sorry, I went back to look at it. He mentioned a mechanical adjustment that he made. What was that, about 6-7 starts ago? And since then, I mean, he didn't go into a lot of detail. Kyle doesn't usually go into a lot of detail about that. And I think that's because there's a lot of different things going through his mind, and he's so good at self-adjustment anyway. He's a guy that does look at a lot of film, and if things aren't going well, he's a guy that'll tell you if things are going well, he doesn't spend a lot of time. It's more of this feel thing. And so making that adjustment, I think, has made a world of difference. And he felt like he was close for a long time. And he says sometimes you just go out there and all of a sudden it clicks. And then you just get in this role where you're getting stronger and stronger each time out. And that's what he has said he feels like of late. And I know it was kind of, even Almora said that he was rooting for Hendricks to go back out there for one more inning, because, you know, he fell just an inning short of 200 innings of work, which, of course, for a lot of starters is sort of this benchmark, reaching that. And he was at 199 innings pitched, which is a career high for him. And 33 starts, also a career high. But yeah, a 3.44 ERA total. I mean, he really has, though, come into the 2016 form here in the last month. And it couldn't have come at a better time for the Cubs, because right now you can't feel bad about sending, or you can't even feel a little nerve-wracked sending out either John Lester or Kyle Hendricks right now. Am I right? I mean, those two both, they're both showing you the bulldog mentality, and that's for the Cubs at this time of the year. It's a really great thing to have both of those guys to lean on.
Kyle Hendricks in his last 8 starts, 1.66 ERA, a ridiculous 38-8 strikeout to walk ratio. So that's big time. We're talking with Kelly Krull, who covers the Cubs for NBC Sports Chicago. You can follow her on Twitter at Kelly_Krull. Let's talk about the guy you just brought up, John Lester, and his performance last night. It was one of those starts where I'm sitting there watching him like, man, this pitch count is going up. In the first two innings, you're seeing him at like 40 pitches, but he somehow gutted it out. I feel like we should probably, maybe I'm just speaking for me, I should stop doubting that guy, because when the money is on the table, he performs. And there's no other pitcher, and I know Cole Hamels has been really good since he came to the Cubs, and obviously we just went over Hendricks' number, but there's no other guy I'd rather have on the mound if I'm the Cubs than that guy, because of the way he goes about his business and doesn't seem like the moment is ever too big for him.
Yeah, absolutely right. Absolutely. I'm completely 100% agree with everything you said. And I think there's something to be said when you say the moment's not too big for him. I mean, this guy has been in so many big moments now, right? Like, it's just another moment for him, really. And then I think about just the competitor that he is. This guy, you can't say enough about how he goes out and he competes and he grinds and he battles. Even when he doesn't have his best stuff, he finds things that are working. And he and Wilson Contreras have come to a really great place and where they're able to work around nights that he doesn't have his best stuff. But I once asked, I remember, him and his agent about, like, what it is that, like, you know, where does that fire inside come from? And he told me, and it was so funny because his agent said the exact same thing. He goes, I hate to lose. I hate losing. I mean, this guy just, he'll do anything, right? Like, it can be as ugly as all get out. But if he comes away and walks away with the W, the team W, that's all he cares about. It really is. And it has been, like I said, he's one of the guys that's been very enjoyable to watch go through these last few years as one of the veteran guys on the team. And these young guys he'll talk about, keeping him young and just what he's molded into in the last few years, and from a leadership standpoint, what he means to this team. And every time he goes out on the hill, that, you know, I think as a Cubs fan and even, you know, a journalist covering the team, every time he takes the mound, you feel like it's going to be a win. You just do, even if he doesn't have his best stuff.
Yeah, last night didn't have great command early on. He found it, got people out. It was all just like smoke and mirrors. It was great, like, yeah, watching him put that together. Last question I have for you. How would you rate Kyle Schwarber's ability to dump a Gatorade bucket? Because I felt like it was a pretty weak attempt on his part to get Al Mora. It was like he dumped it right in front of Al Mora's feet.
I agree. And I've gone back and watched that clip a couple times. And I actually, it's funny you say this, I wanted to ask Kyle about that today if I had a chance. Just like, did it slip out of your hands, buddy? Like, what happened? Or was that the distraction so that Al Mora was looking all at him when then Anthony Rizzo came in with the second Gatorade bucket? You know, like, was this a pre-planned, like, choreographed type celebration? I don't know. I feel like I got to follow up on this because, yeah, I mean, surely he doesn't miss by that much on purpose, right?
I was just sitting there going, what's he doing? Like, what's he doing? There were two things I thought. Number one, what's he doing? And number two, was that a suede jacket you were wearing?
It was a suede jacket, and it was real suede, too. Like, oftentimes I don't really wear real suede or, like, the nicest jackets out there to the park because, you know, this stuff can happen. But I, believe it or not, as girly as this is going to sound, I had thought through this outfit, okay? And I had thought through the fact that this team, even if they clinched their fourth straight trip to the playoffs, was not going to celebrate. Like, I knew they weren't going to have a celebration. And I thought, okay, then I'm in the clear. I should wear this now because I certainly don't want to wear it later in the week. The last thing to cross my mind, though, was a walk-off scenario and then them just celebrating like they usually do the walk-offs, because that's all that was them just celebrating the walk-off. And then I still felt pretty good, Lawrence, after Schwarber and Rizzo. And then I'm thinking, I'm in the clear, right? Two guys, Al Mora's gotten his, you know, celebration, Gatorade bath, and okay, we're good. Let's do this interview. And then leave it to Javier Baez to always be in the middle of the rest of the drama to come out with a third bucket and pour what was left. Thankfully, it was just water. Just water. But yeah, the jacket appears to have survived.
Okay.
And it will live to see another day for all those who are so concerned.
I was concerned. I was concerned if Javi was picking up the dry cleaning on this one.
He is.
Okay.
He's going to. Yep. Good guy, that Javier Baez. Yep.
I like it a ton. Kelly, you are the best. I will see you during the playoffs. Thanks for being on the show tonight.
Can't wait. Thanks for having me. Have a great night, okay?
You got it. That's Kelly Krull, one of the good people in our business. She's terrific. I'm glad Javi's picking up the dry cleaning, too, because what was Schwarber doing? We'll discuss that, and I see some people have added some names of other people that are happy that the Cubs won. I'll go through that next here on The Score. Big thanks to Kelly Krull for being on the show. We had a caller earlier who was just dropping names. I went to college with Curtis Granderson. He mentioned someone else is really happy about the Cubs. So other people are jumping in as well. This is from the 859. I talked to Andre Dawson's mom's mom. She's really excited about the Cubs. Let's see. Who else is in here? They wanted to talk about it. 630 Texas says, I texted Bobby Dernier and I want the Cubs to win the division. 773 texter. 20 years ago, myself and Robin Yao took mandolin lessons together. So I guess it's hard for me to root against the Brew Crew. But really, after talking with Theo last night, we just really want to see the Cubs pull this off. Oh man, me and Theo are thick as thieves. We're old pen pals from back in the day. We go way back. 312 texter says, hey, Lawrence, I've known Walter Payton, Robert Brazil, and Jackie Slater. And that's it. Like, nothing about the Cubs. 708 texter. We're hitting, like, every area code. 708 texter. Kosuke Fukudome told me he really wants the Cubs to win the division. 708 texter. I was talking with Theo the other day. He'd be ecstatic if the Cubs won the division. I know firsthand. LOL. 815 texter says, the caller that Nate kept calling me John, says maybe he thought you were John Feinstein. I don't think so. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. I'm John Feinstein. So maybe I fooled him twice. That's why it happened. More talk about the Cubs. If you'd like to jump in, 312-644-6767. We'll hear from Joe Maddon, and we'll sprinkle in some Bear stuff, too, as they get ready to take on Tampa Bay. I got another hour. Hang out with me. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 9 on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.